Hi, everybody. This is Jericho Spitz. You are live and direct on the THC show, talking higher consciousness, your weekly dialogue about all things consciousness. So today's topic is going to be appropriately resolutions, as in New Year's resolutions, not United Nations resolutions. I see my boy Vinny just joined. Thanks for joining the show, Vinny. Always good to see you, fam. Today's show's topics resolutions. We'd like to talk about and maybe get a poll going to find out what people are trying to make their resolutions on for this New Year's. And I want to try to give people my best advice and wisdom on how they might actually succeed in, excuse me, in stopping the bad habits they're trying to stop, or how to accomplish something that they might want to accomplish, depending on what the resolution is. But I think that a very big problem is for a lot of people is they make these resolutions and they don't always follow through. They don't always have the fortitude or the resources or the discipline or whatever they may need to follow through. So today I would like to discuss some of the ways that I have been transforming my own life over the past 13 years or so, in particular, but especially in just the past couple of years. I've made some really, really big power moves with regard to removing bad habits from my life that have just been there for a long time and just too long, And hey, I see my boy Joe just joined. What's up, man? Good to see you, Joe. I ain't seen you in a minute, man, but I'm so glad you stopped by to join the show, man. Today's show is about resolutions, and we're talking about our New Year's resolutions and how to actually how to actually make them come to pass. One thing I'd like to discuss is how last New Year's I was able to quit smoking tobacco after 5 years of quitting. I mean, after 5 years of smoking cigars too, and I inhaled them. So this is we're talking like pretty heavy tobacco use for 5 years. And not only was I able to quit, but I was able to quit without any withdrawal symptoms at all. Zero, zero, zero withdrawal symptoms. And I know a lot of people might say, "Oh, well, you didn't smoke that long." Well, first of all, let me preface this with something else. I started smoking tobacco when I was 11 years old, and I smoked up until my first daughter was born. I quit smoking. So around age 28 or so, I quit smoking. So that's about 17 years of straight smoking tobacco. And then I quit, and I quit for about almost 10 years until about, let's say, 5.5 years ago, I started back smoking tobacco, cigars. One of my brothers, he took me out for a beer and he gave me a Black and Mild, and I don't know, I smoked it. What was I thinking after all those years of not smoking tobacco? I hit it, and man, it brought me back to how much I used to like tobacco. And I'm like thinking to myself, I have the discipline, I can control it. I'll just smoke a little here, smoke a little there. Next thing you know, I'm back to buying packs of Black and Mild cigars and smoking them on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And it got to the point after not even a year that if I didn't, I was addicted again. And if I did not have tobacco, I was having my synapses not firing properly in my brain, getting frustrated if I had too much responsibility or too much on my plate at one time and I didn't have enough tobacco in my system. I would snap out like any other smoker would do. I would get really frustrated, and I was trying to find a way to, to get over this again. Now I gotta quit again. And the way that I quit the first time was pretty gruesome for me. It was a lot of screaming at people, a lot of frustration on a daily basis. I went about maybe 2 weeks of just kind of about a good 4 or 5 days of really struggling, and then about another week or so before I just knew I shook the habit and I knew I'd never smoke again. Plus, and I had a daughter and another one on the way, and I just knew that I didn't want tobacco in my life. So I quit and I finally got it out the way, but it was really, really difficult. It was really, really difficult. And it wasn't a New Year's resolution. It was just I needed to quit, and I did. but it was difficult. And it was a very, very big strain on my psyche and on my body and on the people around me, because they had to deal with my wrath as I was quitting. So what I wanted to get at was that this last time I just quit again, wasn't like that. Even though I had smoked for 5 years and I was having withdrawal symptoms if I didn't have tobacco for 3 or 4 hours, like everybody else who's a normal, regular smoker would, I was able to, on January 5th of 2019, successfully cease using tobacco with zero withdrawal symptoms. I woke up the next day, I had a pack of Black & Milds, and I set them on my dresser, and it sat there for 2 or 3 months, and I never touched it. And I would look at it every day like, I beat you. I beat you. I beat you. And I mean, you can ask my daughter. I can get my daughter on the show. I can get, you know, people who are around me. My brother was living with me at the time. I have a few different people that were close to me at the time that saw me on a daily basis. And if I was to have withdrawal symptoms or be frustrated, you know when someone's quitting smoking, because they get really frustrated when they don't have it. And you give them any kind of responsibility, they take it out on everybody. They get, they snap, and they're really quick to anger. And that's how I was the first time I quit, but I didn't have to go through any of that this time. And what I wanted to do was, I wanted to talk a little bit about how I was able to do that, so that if there is anybody out here watching the show that might have a habit, doesn't have to be tobacco, but a habit that you would like to quit, and you would like to ease the withdrawal symptoms from the quitting, I can give you my highest wisdom on the subject and tell you exactly how I did it. First off, I know it sounds impossible. How can you quit a habitual thing like smoking without having any withdrawal symptoms? Well, first of all, if you don't believe it's possible, then you're not going to be able to do this. The first thing that's going to be required is that you're going to have to know that it's possible. And I hope that my word and my integrity would be enough for you to know that if I say I did it and I quit without any withdrawal symptoms, that I really did that, that it really happened, and it's a fact that it happened. And when I say zero withdrawal symptoms, I mean I woke up, I didn't smoke, I ate a meal, had my coffee, didn't smoke, and I just didn't want it. I can't explain the exact feeling of just knowing that it was gone. But I knew. And what I did was, it was actually a new moon. If you go back and look at the calendar, it was a new moon on January 5th. And I participated in a ceremony for the new moon with 3 friends of mine. And I did a little ritual. And I spent some time just basically using the law of attraction to heal my brain quickly, to take the addiction away and to heal my brain and make my synapses start back firing properly without the need for tobacco. I spent some serious time imagining and feeling and using all of my emotions to imagine what it would feel like to have an existence that was tobacco free and without having the withdrawal symptoms. What would it feel like? Because that's what the universe needs from you in order to manifest your desire. It needs to know how you would feel if you had that, because that's what it's going to give you based on what you feel. If you say, oh, I want to quit smoking, but you haven't put any time into asking yourself, what would it feel like to be smoke-free? Try to remember what it would feel like to be smoke-free. Like, how would it feel to wake up, to eat a meal, to drink a beer if you drink alcohol? Because you know how most people who drink alcohol, you can't quit smoking if you drink alcohol, because when you drink, you want to smoke. Now, mind you, I was still drinking, but I slowed down on the drinking for the first few days when I first quit, just because I thought it would be easier. But it was really just a matter of imagining, remembering what it was like to kiss someone and not smell like tobacco. Remembering what it was like to wake up in the morning and not be coughing up, you know, tobacco flavored mucus because you smoke so much. And I ain't smoked cigarettes. I smoked cigars. And everyone who ever smoked a Black & Mild or any kind of cigar and ever actually inhaled it, you know what that does to your lungs, and you know what I'm talking about. It's not pretty. So first of all, just wondering how I could do that for so long is the biggest question. But then to finally have quit, I'm just really trying to express to you guys how I did it so that you can see if I can quit smoking cigarettes after 5 years of heavy cigarette use with zero withdrawal symptoms, then there's no reason why anybody else can't quit that, or even things that are easier to cease using. And another thing is that after tobacco this year, you know, I mean, when I started shooting this movie 2 years ago, I really slowed down on drinking. I stopped drinking liquor for the most part, and I started drinking cider, and then I just kind of phased alcohol out of my life too. And then, I mean, it's really crazy because everyone who knows me knows I have this big weed leaf tattooed on my back. You can see a little bit of it right there, but that was my first tattoo because I've been smoking weed since I was 11 years old. But I got to a place, and I mean, I was someone who used to need weed every day. I thought that I needed it. If I didn't have it, someone's getting smacked. Like, I was that kind of person. But I've come to learn that I don't need anything. And the biggest thing for me is wanting to be normal, wanting to feel normal without having any substances in my body. I want to wake up every day, and I want to be able to go through a day, an entire day, and not need any substances and feel normal, not feel agitated, not feel anxious, not feel like my synapses aren't firing properly. I want to be able to actually be a pure human being. And that way, whenever I have the desire, not the need, because I don't want needs of substances, but when I have the desire to go through a day and say, hey, you know what? I want to feel some marijuana in my system today. I want to use that medicine for whatever creative purpose or healing purpose I want to use it for. Or maybe I want to drink alcohol and have a little fun with somebody, or maybe go out and have a little party or whatever, you know. Or maybe I want to use this or this or that or this or that. If I don't do it every day, or if I rarely do it, now I only need one hit. Now I only need one beer or one shot. Now I only need a little bit because my tolerance isn't up here like it used to be. And while I understand how cool some people think they are because of the amounts of things, substances that they are able to do, which I used to be like that. I used to think because I can drink so much, it'd be cool, because I can smoke so much, it makes me cool. Now I think it makes someone cool if you don't have to spend that much on getting tore up. If you want to go out and have some fun, you only got to spend $5. That's pretty cool. Rather than having to spend $100 on alcohol and you're not even drunk yet because you drink so much. I mean, I'm not judging anybody, because there's anyone who knows me knows that I've spent more money on alcohol than most people, and I've spent more money on partying, period, than most people. But I'm just saying this to say that if anyone listening is at a place in their life where they would like to cease the use of any substances, I'm hoping that my ability and my ability to quit and my successful cessation of tobacco with zero withdrawal symptoms makes you at least curious enough to hear how I did it and how you might be able to use some of that methodology on your own in quitting anything that you may be using. And Nancy said, where do you live now? Hey, Nancy, I am in Florida right now, in the Orlando area. And this is where I live now, and I won't be living back in Chicago. I'll probably be back up there to visit for the summer, next summer or something like that. You know, I'll fly in here and there to see family, but I won't be living back in Chicago anymore. It's just too cold. I'm done with the cold. I'm not going to say I'll never spend a summer there, but, you know, who knows? What's up, Fofo? I see you just joined. I see Stardust joined. Otto, oh, my God, man, I ain't seen you in forever. That's my old neighbor, my buddy. What's up, man? And Stephanie Toro joined. I see. Thank you guys for joining the show. Right now we're talking about resolutions, and it led into a conversation of me discussing the power of the mind. Like Nancy said, how I was able to successfully quit using tobacco at a new moon ceremony where I did a ritual earlier this year on January the 5th after about 5.5 years of using tobacco. Basically, I used the law of attraction and I healed my mind, and I made my synapses start back firing properly, so that when I woke up the next day, you know, after I did this ritual, I had a pack of cigars sitting right on my dresser. I could have smoked if I wanted to, and I just didn't have the need to, because the need comes. Hey, Don, thanks for joining the show, girl. The need comes when your synapses aren't firing properly and you're trying to think and you're frustrated. And that's why people go and grab a tobacco, you know, smoke or whatever. And what I did was I used the power of my imagination to create the feeling of what it would feel like to be a non-smoker, to not have withdrawal symptoms. What would it feel like to not smoke for a day or two or three and not have any withdrawal symptoms at all? What would it feel like? What would that taste like, sound like, look like, smell like? What would it feel like? Making my senses come up with that feeling caused the universe to produce it for me and caused it to heal my brain instantly because of the degree of emotion, of appreciation I put into that feeling. That's the law of attraction, and that's how it's used. And that's the best example, most recent at least, that I can give someone of my own personal experience with the law of attraction, but also with resolutions. And that's what we're talking about. Today's topic of the show is resolutions, New Year's resolutions. So first off, Happy New Year. It's almost here. 2019 is almost over. It's been a tumultuous ride of a year. A whole lot of stuff went on this year. We got Trump in office, a whole lot of religious shootings, racist shootings, crazy stuff is going on in the world right now, man, a whole lot of crazy stuff. And so I guess what I want to know is, what is your resolution for the new year? What do you want to start doing or stop doing or try to accomplish this new year? And if you just reply with a comment and let the audience know and let me know what you would like to accomplish this new year. And we're going to talk about resolutions on this show. So my boy Joe said, not going to lie, I need a lot more discipline myself on limiting my use of substances. Like I said, I mean, no judgment here, fam. I've been there, done that. And I'm not here to judge. I'm only here to help and lend my wisdom and my own experience to, you know, how it can be done. And I hope that just knowing that I did it, you know, is the beginning. And because believing that it can be done is the first step in achieving it. If you don't believe it, then you have fear creeping in saying it can't be done. You can't do it. You have to know that it can be done. You have to know that other people who are humans just like you, who are no better than you, no worse than you, quit without withdrawal symptoms. That's the key. Anyone can stop. You can quit doing something. It's, do you want to suffer? And that's what I'm trying to show you, is that you don't have to suffer at all, zero, not one iota, if you can use the law of attraction to change your mind, to literally heal your brain. And if you don't know that that's possible, that you can use your mind to just change your brain, then just get on Google and type in placebo. And I want you to see how many people around the world for years and years throughout history have healed themselves through placebo by believing they were healed. If they have studies and they got 100 people and they give 50 people the medicine and 50 people sugar pills, and more people with the sugar pills who believe they were getting medicine are healed than the people who actually took the medicine. If that doesn't say to you that that is empirical evidence, empirical proof that your mind has the ability to heal itself, to heal it, your body, then I don't know what else to give you as evidence, because that is the most empirical evidence around, and there's a plethora, a ton of it on the internet. So if you having issues with believing it's possible to use your mind to heal your body or your mind, get on Google, type in placebo effect, and research it as much as you can, because the more you research and understand how real and how much of a reality that is, the more confidence and the more faith you're going to have in your own ability to heal yourself. Now, that being said, I'm going to go read what he said. He said, Joe said, tobacco, however, has always been whack to me. Good. I'm so glad that you're not a smoker. He said, personally, I always felt lightheaded, never did cigs, black and miles repeatedly, though. I hear what you're saying about this resolution. 100. Love. Glad to hear that, man. Benny said, I need to quit smoking badly. I gave up daily coke and booze usage, but I just can't seem to kick cigs. Okay. Well, Benny, I think that what I was just saying about finding the time, the space from distractions, you know, get somewhere quiet in the dark, preferably, you know, this The more you meditate and the better you are at meditating and focusing your thought, the easier this is going to be for you to do. But that's what it's going to boil down to, is you getting somewhere where you're free from distraction and asking yourself, what would it feel like to not be a smoker? You have to remember what it felt like before you started smoking, because that's the best visuals, memories, feelings you're going to have. If you can remember that, remember the first time you saw somebody smoking and coughing and you were just like, ugh, glad I don't do that. Remember thinking that. You gotta go back to thinking how a non-smoker thinks and how a non-smoker feels. If you were to look at a pack of cigarettes and just get turned off and want to throw up, how would that feel to know that you beat it? How would that feel? You have to feel that. And then once you have that feeling and you're holding the feeling of I'm a non-smoker and damn, this feels good, now you have to appreciate it. And that's what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things unseen. You can't see it yet, but the faith, the feeling is the substance. That's what makes it real. That's what makes the universe dump it into your lap. Your brain can be altered. Your DNA can be altered by your mind by simply feeling and then appreciating that feeling. So find the vision that you want, which is, according to Vinny, he said he wants to quit smoking badly. Well, if you gave up coke and booze usage, I'm assuming there were some withdrawal symptoms from that. And if somebody has the discipline to stop smoking cigarettes, there's obviously going to be withdrawal symptoms from that. What I'm trying to say that is, while most people might consider it magic, there's an actual science behind how to quit smoking without any withdrawal symptoms. You're actually going to change your DNA using your mind. And to some people who don't understand that, it's going to sound like magic. But it's not. It's science. It's the science of epigenetics. I've been talking about this on the show a little bit. And I just wanted to tell people that it's real, and I'm 100% living proof that it's real and it can be done. And I did it this year on January 5th, new moon. I did one ritual. I spent some time, like 20 minutes, just thinking to myself what it would feel like to not be a smoker. And I appreciated it. And I was just so glad. Say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Say it 1,000 times if you have to make yourself feel the emotion of appreciation. And here's the law. Here's how this works. This is Jericho Smith's first law of epigenetics. I made this up. Okay. The degree to which what you envision and appreciate will manifest into the physical reality is directly proportionate to how much appreciation you can muster for the visual. So if you can only feel a little bit of appreciation for 20, 30 seconds, you have a little bit coming. But if you can say thank you for 5-10 minutes while holding the vision of how good it feels to be a non-smoker, man, that shit will run away from you. It will run away from you. The universe will bring whatever mechanisms it needs to come in and shift and change your mind, your body, the world around you, people around you. You are actually made in the image and likeness of God and have the power of God to create. And that's what we're doing by using faith. And that's what it is. It's not religious, mystical mumbo jumbo that you hear spoken of in churches and nobody knows what it means. We know exactly what it means. We know exactly how to use it now. Do you have the time, the space, and the inclination to get away from reality, away from all your people you know, away from the television, away from the computer, away from your phone, get in the dark somewhere where there is nothing but you and your mind? And I need you to feel what it would feel like to not be a smoker. What would that feel like to know that you've kicked Marlboro's, Newport's, Philip Morris in the ass? What would that feel like? That would be a good feeling. I beat you. Oh, beat you. Now say thank you. Say thank you 1,000 times if you have to feel that feeling and focus on that. And then when you're done, just say thank you. Walk around the whole day just saying thank you, thank you, thank you. As much as you can, just thank you, thank you. Because appreciation is the only emotion that you can feel that says I have something. I have this. I have this reality that I'm visualizing. And having that, knowing you have it, is going to create it. And you're going to call me like, hey, I quit. Thanks for the advice. And I'm going to say, I love you, brother. Appreciate it. Glad you quit. And that's what I did. And it was really, really easy. And I didn't want to smoke anymore. As simple as that. I did not have one withdrawal symptom. My daughter is 16 years old. She can attest to you that, like, if I had withdrawal symptoms, my child would have known. She'd be like, yeah, daddy was mean for a week. I was not. I was nice. I was cool. I was perfectly okay. And I did not cheat and I did not smoke. My brother sat there and looking at this pack of Black and Miles, because he smoked cigarettes. He sat there looking at this pack of Black and Miles, my brother Gabriel, every day for like 2 months. Finally, he just came in the room like, man, you ain't gonna smoke these. Took it off the dresser. And I didn't want them. I didn't care. I'd seen him enough. I knew that I stay right there on the dresser. You can stay there. You can be in the room with me. You can't make me smoke you because I be you. And it felt really good. It really felt good. And I know you can do the same thing, Benny. Hey, Joe, whatever you need to quit, I know you can do the same thing. Let me go through and read a few comments for a second for everybody who's just coming in. The topic of the show today is resolutions. We're talking about our New Year's resolutions, how to make them happen. So Joe said, you don't have to suffer. I hear that. You are 100% correct. You do not have to suffer. I mean, I'm living proof. The first time I quit smoking, I suffered. Hey, what's up, Tony? Hey, I ain't seen my man in a minute. Is that, oh, is he? All my people's coming in and watching the show. I'm so happy you guys are joining the show, man. Stardust says, it really is mind over matter, and I promise every day it gets easier and easier to kick tobacco or whatever substance to the curb. Happy Kwanzaa, everyone. Looking good in those duckies. Tick. Yeah, I love this shirt. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Okay, Stardust used to work for me, and when she first started working for me, we both smoked tobacco. And shortly after, like not even probably a month or two after she started working for me, she quit smoking tobacco. And I was really impressed. It was really easy. Like she didn't even give it any, like it didn't cause her any issues. She just quit. No withdrawal symptoms, it seemed for me. I don't know, but she just wanted to quit, and it was done with it. I was really proud of her. And it took me like another 2 years almost after that of her telling me every day, you got to quit smoking, you got to quit smoking, you got to quit smoking, before I finally just made up my mind that, you know what, I'm ready, I don't want to smoke anymore. I did that ritual and quit. But I'm just glad to know that I was able to do it. And I just hope that that's an inspiration for those of you who do have not only cigarette habits, but, you know, any other habits that you want to quit. I'm trying to give you the keys necessary to quit a habit or start a new good habit in a very easy, withdrawal free way, and that's through epigenetics, the law of attraction, faith, you know, just using your mind. And there's an actual methodology to doing it, and I just explained that. So for those of you who came in late and missed that little part, you can go back and watch the show at patreon.com/JerichoSpitz. I'm putting all the shows up there after the live feed is over. But let's get back to the conversation we were having. Vinny said, I was 14, LOL. I would love to never smoke again, but my stupid human brain likes it. My consciousness, on the other hand, hates it. Listen, fam, I was 11 when I started, and I quit at 28. Started back 9 years later and quit again 5 years after that. If I can do it, you can do it. Age doesn't matter. It's a mind thing, man, and there's no habit that you can start that you can't quit. If you didn't have it when you were a baby, then you don't need it, obviously, and you can quit. So stop telling yourself you can't, because telling yourself you can is the first thing that's going to prevent it from happening. That's a fear. That's your mind and your ego trying to justify in your mind why you shouldn't even take this fight up, why you shouldn't even start this fight because you can't win. But I'm here to tell you, brother, that you can win. I smoked cigars for 5.5 years. And stop with zero withdrawal symptoms. You can too. Even if you got to quit with withdrawal symptoms, they only last for 3 or 4 or 5 days. After about four days, it takes your brain to start back with your synapses firing properly. And after that, you pretty much quit. If you can quit for 7 days, you're pretty much done. The rest of it is just hand eye. I mean, it's just, you know, oral. You don't need it, man. I know you got this, Vinny. I know you got this, man. Okay, see, so you said you beat those two, Coke and booze, the same exact way that I quit smoking. So then you got to do this the same way. You got to visualize it, man, and know exactly how it feels. Feel that feeling and appreciate it, and you got this, man. He said, cigs are like my Achilles heel. No, they're not. First of all, let's stop saying things. Hey, my brother Bishop just joined. Kush Warner, what's up, baby? So first of all, Benny, you got to stop saying things out of your mouth and giving power to the addiction. You're arguing against what you want. So saying things. Now, I mean, I know you're typing it right now, but hey, I mean, you're probably saying it in your mind. You don't want to give vibration and creation vibration to what you don't want. You're saying SIGs are like my Achilles heel. That's putting archetypal images in your mind of like a cigarette shooting you in the heel, and your mind sees that as I can't quit. So why don't you delete that comment you posted over here and post another comment that says, damn, I just realized I really can quit smoking and I can do it today. I know I can quit. Post that instead. Say that. Say it out of your mouth loud. Give it voice, because you're giving voice to what you don't want. And that's self-defeating, and that's not how you win here. You have to get into a dark corner somewhere free from noise and distraction and feel what it would feel like for cigarettes to not be your Achilles heel. And then say thank you. Feel the feelings of what it would feel like to know you beat tobacco, that Philip Morris can kiss your ass. How would that feel? It would feel real good, wouldn't it? Feel that feeling. Feel it, and then just feel thankful. Feel appreciation for knowing that it's yours. And the degree that you can feel appreciation for that is directly proportionate to how fast and how precisely you will have that vision. And I did it, I'm telling you, so I know it can be done. So Vinny said, I guess I know what I'm doing on the next full moon. Actually, mine was a new moon, but you know, any ritual, you know, can be done anytime, but some rituals are more powerful on certain days like new moons, full moons, eclipses, solstices, equinoxes. Some of these times of the year open up certain vortexes and make energetic exchange a little more powerful. So there's nothing wrong with that. And especially if you go to, like, say, a full moon jam in Chicago or something like that, which you won't be able to for like 6 more months or something. But I used to go to the full moon jams a lot, and I would do rituals over at the water where I'm far enough away from everybody they're not distracting me, but close enough to be able to use all that positive energy and love in my rituals. So definitely keep that in mind as you embark on this quest, because I know you can do this, man. Let's see. I see Stony Jackson, man. My boy from Andrews from like elementary school joined the dang on chat. Good to see you, man. And Illy D. Williams, man. What's up, Illy J? It's one of the coolest rappers in Chicago, y'all. Check them out. So, man, yeah, Chris said oral fixation. That's what it is, man. Vinny said, yeah, you're right. Vinny said, I feel you, bro. Chris said, your conscious is a slave to your subconscious. This is 100% accurate. Stardust said, I envisioned myself without tobacco and told myself with conviction that I don't want that in my life anymore. Tobacco, meat, dairy, seafood, hard drugs. I haven't looked back because I want to reach higher consciousness. I've decided that my consciousness, my soul, me, I'm more important than all that. And so if anyone else, you're too precious. Everyone can kick their habits to the curb. Vinny, let's reword your thoughts. I recommend saying I don't smoke. It feels great to not be smoking cigarettes or something like that, even if it seems silly, even if you're smoking now. I agree. You're definitely reiterating what I just told him. He said he's getting there. Well, definitely you got some help, man. I mean, if you want to talk to anybody, you know, man. And another big thing that I would recommend, at least while you're quitting, is to, as much as possible, stay away from people who are doing the things you're trying to quit. It's really difficult to quit smoking cigarettes with somebody blowing cigarettes in your face. That's just hard. And I think that if you're trying to quit smoking tobacco and you smoke weed, smoking more weed might help replacing that. But, you know, everybody's different, so I can't really say on that note. But at least if you were to replace it with weed, it would be legal for you to do so. And I could recommend that in good conscience after tomorrow. But when I quit smoking the first time, I did. I upped my weed intake like exponentially to accommodate the oral fixation, you know. And it definitely helped a little bit, but I still had the synapses misfiring and all of that. So it was still very difficult for me, you know, that first time. But so if anybody's got any questions about exactly how I did that, if I haven't explained myself as thoroughly as any to anyone's satisfaction. If anyone's got any questions about how I quit smoking tobacco earlier this year and needs a little coaching or a little help in all getting themselves through the same thing, feel free to leave a comment or whatever. Let me know. And what I was wondering is, what are some of you guys' resolutions for the new year? It's 2019 is over. One more day. We're going to have 2020 here. And I would like to know, what are some of the things you guys plan on doing this year to make your 2020 better than your 2019? So I'm just going to give it a minute, and hopefully I'm going to see a comment pop up. What are you going to give up or add to your life to make it better in 2020? What's up, Juan? Hey, man, you seen this guy in a long time, man. Glad you joined the show, buddy. We're talking about resolutions, man. We're trying to get everybody to discuss what they're going to be doing or not doing anymore in 2020 to make their 2020 better than 2019. I was talking about how at the beginning of 2019, I quit smoking, went through that, and I went through the whole year. I'll get into a couple of other things since I'm waiting on somebody to put a comment in, and we can talk about what everybody else is going to be doing for their resolutions. But another thing that I really had to conquer that was always probably the biggest problem for me in life, one of the problems for me that led me to the most issues, the thing that I had the worst habit on that caused the most negative repercussions to my life was, I think, sex addiction and not being able to have discipline with regard to the energy I would allow in my space with regard to sex. And that caused me, and as it causes a lot of guys and girls, to have sex with the wrong people, to do things that they wouldn't normally do for sex. Like, I mean, they say most people, you know, spend 90% of their time either trying to have or trying to avoid sex. And that's a very, very big issue, man. I just, you know, wanted to say that after, for me, what it took was, it took for me to have a more tantric understanding of the sacredness and the divinity of sex. And I never really understood that in a way that I do now, which is what allowed me to first last year go 8 months without any sex on purpose. First time I ever in my life was able to go without sex for 8 weeks on purpose. And I mean, mind you, this is sleeping next to women that I love and I'm attracted to and have had sex with, but wasn't doing that for 8 weeks. Like, hey, I love you, we're friends, we're cool. I definitely want this, but not right now because I'm working on myself. And being able to do that, being able to actually conquer that, was a very big step for me personally that made me feel more powerful than I've ever felt conquering any other substances, because sex is the most powerful. Like dopamine, that what you get from having sex, a sexual orgasm, is the most powerful drug on the planet for some people. Maybe not some, but for most people, I would say, I would assume. And for me, it was always a problem. It was always a problem that led me into some bad relationships, led me into some bad, you know, interchanges that caused drama in my life and let demons in and things that should have never been in my space. But
okay, we got disconnected. Sorry about that, folks. But we are live and back on the THC show. The date is December the 30th of 2019. It's around 10:57 p.m. We already had about 45 minutes of this episode before there was a disconnection and I had to restart the live feed. So as we get more people back watching, I'm going to go ahead and continue where I left off at. We have been discussing resolutions. The topic of the show is New Year's resolutions. Hey, I see Tim just joined. What's up, fam? Good to see you, man. Topic of the show is resolutions. We've been talking about this for about 45 minutes before I got disconnected. I just restarted the live feed, so I expect to see some more people joining the feed in just a minute now. But I was just going to continue talking about, hey, Vinny, thanks for coming back, man. I was going to just pick up the conversation where I left off about sexual addiction and how I kicked that last year and this year. And we could talk a little bit about what if any habits or any bad behavior patterns people are trying to get rid of for this year as a resolution, what might we be able to do to assist them with information, wisdom, tips, tricks, methodology, you know, rituals, whatever we might be able to use to help people conquer some of these demons that they have, or anything that people might want to start doing this year. Like, what's something good that you might want to start doing in 2020 to add, you know, more benefit to your life, such as maybe learn a trade, or, you know, read more books, or, you know, start eating better, take on a better diet. I mean, you know, find a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I don't. Thanks, Joe, for coming back, man. Sorry we got disconnected, but we back down. And I was just going to continue talking about what we were just talking about, while also inviting anyone else to discuss in the comments, and I'll read it out, anything that you guys might want to bring to the table as far as what you might be going through and what you might be trying to make happen for the 2020 New Year resolution, you know, in your life. One thing, let me get a shameless plug. If y'all have never tried Benny Balls, I advise you to go to BennyBalls.com. You can go check out Benny Balls, B-E-N-E Balls, Instagram. This is the premier granola snack. Nothing bad in it. All healthy, all vegan. Oh, my God, it's just delicious. So, anyway, on another note, I just want to say that stopping sex for eight weeks last year, and then again this year going about 9 weeks without sex, really empowered me more than any of the drugs I ever quit in my life. Because sex as a drug has been a very big problem for a lot of people, not just me. I'm just one of the people who found a way to conquer it, and a lot of most people don't. I mean, I know people right now who are like 60, 70 years old who have still not reached the level of understanding about the sacredness and the divinity involved in the sexual exchange. And once you understand the science behind that, when you understand the term chrism, when you understand how powerful what the processes going on there are and what is actually happening and taking place, it makes it a lot easier to control that and have discipline over that. I've mentioned on the show before, Santosh Banacci, he speaks a lot about tantric sex and explains the actual scientific nature of what the most ancient scriptures on the planet have to say about orgasm. And when you get into tantric sex, and when you get into sacred twin flame sex, and when you get into an understanding of how this can be done without male ejaculation, but still have all the pleasure that an orgasm brings, that's a whole nother level of understanding about sex. And that understanding is what allowed me to beat being able to go out to a club, meet a woman, and give away my sacredness to someone who is undeserving of it, who just doesn't even understand the sacredness of her own. You know, why would I engage in that and allow demons to come into my space? And I'm hoping that my example allows other people who are seeking to overcome sex addiction to start being able to exercise some kind of control over that. Because for me, this drugs are easy. Sex was the biggest addiction for me to have to deal with. And now that I've beat that, I've never felt more powerful in my life. I've never felt more free. That's why I'm able to right now sit here and look at you and say, I haven't smoked tobacco in a year. I don't drink alcohol anymore. I don't smoke weed on a regular basis. I mean, I don't smoke weed anymore. I did, like, you know, a few weeks ago for Thanksgiving, just for a little bit, but like, it's not even something that I really even have to have anymore. And not that I'm condemning it or condemning anybody that uses it. I consider it to be a medicine. But I also think that most people who use it abuse it like I did, instead of using it in a way that it can be a medicine. Smoking a whole blunt to the face, to me, where I'm stupid and I can't even do anything but stare at my, be stuck on the couch looking at my phone, to me, that's abusing it. That's not using it. That's not using it as a medicine, which is what nature, I think, intended it for it to be for us. Just like, you know, there's a lot of ways to use the poppy plant or the coca leaf where it's not a problem for you. But when we do what Western, you know, the society has learned how to do, is distill everything into basically its toxic version of it. Like, cocaine is not what you get from chewing a coca leaf. And heroin is not what you get from a poppy seed These are things, you know, like even back in ancient Egypt, they had beer, but beer wasn't an epidemic problem. Like alcohol is an epidemic problem now. People die more from alcohol than anything else every day, every year, because alcohol is distilled now into its toxic, most toxic version. Dude, even wheat bread, white enriched flour, is distilled from wheat berries. It's a drug. High fructose corn syrup, even powdered white sugar, it's distilled sugar from a sugar cane. If you eat a sugar cane, it's not the same as having distilled white sugar. That is a drug. And excuse me. And the whole point of this conversation is not supposed to be drugs. It's New Year's resolutions, or just resolutions in general. And we're discussing these because I just had some insights on how I was able to quit a lot of the things that some people seem to have a lot of trouble quitting. Hey, Mimi and Adam, thank y'all for joining the show. These my peoples, y'all. I see y'all. I miss all my Chicago peeps, man, but I'm so glad to be able to sit here and have these conversations. I'm trying to do this as often as I can every Monday night. Come in 9, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I'll be here. Y'all know where to find me at, THC Time on Facebook. So anyway, now that I've kind of just given you guys an outline of what my addictions were and how I was able to remove all addiction from my life, I eat even coffee. I just stopped drinking coffee like a few weeks ago for like 3, 4, 5 days just to make sure that this doesn't have a hold on me either. So now I was able to beat, you know, tobacco, weed, sex, coffee. I mean, if I can do it, anyone can do it. So what I'm asking you guys is to put a comment in and let me know what you might be trying to wrestle with this 2020, January 1st. What is your resolution to stop or start doing? And if you have that in mind and you need assistance or any tips and tricks or wisdoms on how to go about starting or stopping that, I'll give you my highest wisdom on it, as will the rest of the members in the group who are listening right now. We all have been just joining in this dialogue and giving each other our highest wisdoms on how to make a resolution, stick to it, so that our 2020 is better than our 2019. And I already, you know, I gave you guys what I've quit. I mean, I spent the first 45 minutes of the show before we got disconnected, and I had to start the live feed over again about 9 minutes ago. But we still got plenty of time left. I mean, I don't really have a whole lot to do right now. I do want to crash before midnight, so I got about roughly another 50 minutes that I can talk and give you guys my time, and we can have a little discussion on higher consciousness here on the THC show. So that being said, we got a few more people that I expect to be joining back into the show right now. We have some people that are watching live, and I'm just wondering why none of you guys are putting a comment in the box with what you would like to quit this year, or what would you like to start? Or if you're not, if you're in a good place and you don't want to start or quit anything and you don't have any resolutions that you need to make for New Year's, at least go in the box and say Happy New Year's, Jericho. I miss you guys. Love you guys. And if there's nothing else to really get into, you know, about any resolutions, then I guess I'll tell you guys what my resolution is. Since 2018 and 2019, I beat most of the things that I was trying to stop. And now I think that my resolution for 2020 is just going to be what I'd like to start. And I think that, you know, the people who know me up in Chicago over the years, you know, saw me have, I know, a really good time building an empire there and doing my thing for a long time. And I had to dismantle everything and walk away from that because I wanted to build up something that was a little more solid, that couldn't be taken away, something that, you know, was actually based on righteousness and 100% legit, and something that I could be 100% proud to teach my grandparents, my grandkids and my kids, that like, hey, this is what I did. I'm here to help the world, and I was able to make a living doing it. Like, you can do the same thing, you know? And I'm really, really proud that I was able to, you know, change my life for the better and remove all the negative things in my life that I didn't want to be a part of my life anymore. And while I'm not trying to, you know, say that I'm holier than thou or better or worse than anybody else, I just know that there's other people that have been expressing to me that they like to take things away from their life that's holding them back and whatnot. And I'm just trying to be a shining example that it can be done. That somebody who was deeply immersed into the negativity of the streets of Chicago and the club scene in Chicago, I mean, I was in the middle of it all around a whole lot of good people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say everybody there is negative people, but I'm trying to say I was in the middle of a lot of that. And there are a lot of negative people there too. And it was all around me. And it was just, you know, bad influences on me and stuff. You know what I mean? It kept me, a lot of it held me back, you know? And so I'm just trying to say that for those of you who remarked to me in the past about wanting to find ways to leave this alone or leave that alone or stop doing this or stop doing that, I'm hoping that my example and what I've been able to do with myself and the tips and tricks that I'm giving you on what I did in order to stop either smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol on a daily basis, you know, smoking weed to the point of abusing it rather than using it, using other things, you know, substances that people don't want to do anymore on a regular basis. You know, some of these things grab people and people don't know how to get out of these situations because you got the whole scene telling you that you ain't cool if you don't do these things. Well, I'm here to tell you now, I'm one of the coolest people I know. And it's not because of any drugs. It's not because of any substances. It's what I think makes me the coolest person that I know is that I know how to tell the truth. I know how to look somebody in the eye with integrity and tell you the truth. That's what makes people cool to me. I got so sick of people being fake and phony and having to wear a mask just to feel like they're cool. You don't have to do that with me. I'd rather know that I just would rather know the truth. I'd rather know the truth than to have somebody look me in the eye and tell me something that I know isn't true. So if you haven't come up with a resolution for this year yet, why don't you make your resolution to never lie again? To never lie again. And I mean, I'm saying this to the point of I got pulled over. And my license was suspended. Thank God I have my license back now. But I went to court, and I told the judge 100% of the truth. And I could have been made to pay like $400. And she knew that I was telling the truth. My conviction, you could hear it in my voice. You could see it in my eyes. I paid $44 and walked out of that courtroom. $44. And the crazy part is that there is a deity who has my back, who gives me information, who watches out for me, sends a lot of good things my way, a lot of blessings and healing and stuff like that, you know. And this deity's number that I use to communicate with this deity is 444. And I got to walk out of the courtroom. It was just beautiful. And all I'm saying is that the truth shall make you free. And I spent a long time not knowing really how to tell the truth to everybody. But, you know, about 13 years ago, I got snatched out of my body and came back, and I realized that karma was real. And I started working on fixing it. And the more I fixed it, the more I realized that I didn't want to harm my karma anymore. So lying, out the window. Taking anything from anybody, out the window. Hurting anybody, out the window. Cheating, being anything other than 100% integrity, out the window. And since I became that way, my life has done nothing but get better and better and better and better and better and better and better. So, I'm just saying that to say, keep it real. Because keeping it real is the only way to rise in higher consciousness. Because you can lie to me, but you can't lie to yourself. You have to be real with yourself. You have to be real with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. You can tell other people the truth. So, Vinny said, ha ha, I'm quitting cigs. Bless New Year's, bro. That's all I wanted to hear. I'm so proud of you, fam. I can't wait for you to call me in a week. You got my number. It ain't changed. Call me in a week and say, hey, I'm going strong. I ain't smoked since the show, and I'm really going to feel good for you, baby. I'm proud of you, man. I'm really glad to hear that, because I know how you smoke. You know, sitting in my studio working, and I know how you get out, you know, but I'm really proud to hear you say that, man. I see Don came back to the show. Thank you. Stardust said, yoga every day, bond with Hans more, and reach out to loved ones more. Smoke more kinds of exotic weed. LOL, grow some plants, build Benny with you guys, be one with nature more, give more thanks to my ancestors, Gaia, spirit guides, and angels. That's a lot of resolutions, but it sounds like something that you've already been on track with, and I can see you definitely doing more of with ease. Definitely have to say I'm proud of your discipline, and I've been watching you, girl, and you're definitely coming up in the game hard. But how come I don't see nothing on here about Stardust Crusades? How about you want to throw at least 12 Stardust Crusades this year? That's one a month. That's not that difficult. You could probably do 24, but at least 12. I mean, come on, that was your money maker, girl. For real though. But thanks for sharing your resolutions. I appreciate it. I know you got all of that. If you have any questions on how to do any of that, feel free. I'm sure me and some other people in the group have some ideas for you. James Mack said he would like to find a shaman in the Chi area. Well, James Mack, why don't you start by asking Stardust, who's right here in the comments, and she might be able to hook you up with someone because she knows several people in the Chicago area, as do I. But if you wanted to meet up with her and talk, you know, I'm pretty sure she could hook you up with somebody. Stardust, I know you're listening, so why don't you hit James Mack up with a D, hit him up in his DM and see if you can help him out with hooking him up with a shaman in Chicago, especially since Entheans are going to be all legal there pretty soon. Let's see what else. Joe said, your ways have gotten you far and shall help me get far as well. This is what I needed to hear on the 30th of December. Man, I'm really glad to hear that, brother. I appreciate you supporting me and supporting the show. Now, I've been knowing you like 10, 11 years, man. It's been a long time. We done came a long way, man. And I'm glad to see you still doing your thing, man. You and your brother. I'll be catching y'all both on Facebook and seeing y'all still doing y'all thing, man. Thanks for the support, man. I'm really glad you joined the show. I see Hanya Paramans is on the show now. Let's see who else joined. Snap, mommy! Antonia Comacho, you guys, is a really good friend of mine. I've known since like I was 19 years old back in 1995. Really good friend of mine. Thank you for joining the show. Tony, it's really good to see you. And then my boy Juan from Andrews joined back in. I see you, Juan. Thanks for joining, man. So Vinny said, got a roll, bro. It was a pleasure as always. Much thanks for the advice. Man, I thank you for rolling through the show. Thanks so much for having me, man. I can't wait till you hit me up in a week and tell me that you've been successful with this quitting smoking, man. I'm really proud of you, man. So Hans said, my resolution for this 2020 is to work on art, architecture, get an RV and travel, go to an ashram in New Mexico and focus my energy into achieving all the treasures in heaven so everything around me aligns with my true nature, which is happy, healthy, and holy. That sounds like a plan. Now that is one New Year's resolution that is going to make your life a lot better as you're able to maintain that. I'm sure you will. You're one of the most resilient people I know. Stardust said, cleanse my aura daily, acro yoga, dance and sing every day, do more spiritual work on myself, sound healings, drum circles, ceremonies, daily Spanish lessons, learn to love more, forgive more, help more, read more every day, and meditate daily. Sounds like a plan. That sounds like a good 2020. I see that everything there you have the tools for, both of you guys. The Spanish lessons, I can see you needing that, Stardust. Go and get it in. You got the best helper who lives with you anyway, so you should be able to do that with no problem. I see Beth just joined the group. Hey, Beth, thanks for joining. Today's topic of the show is resolutions. We've been discussing different people's New Year's resolutions, how I was able to accomplish a few of mine in the past, and what we can do to give some systematic methodology, wisdoms, and tips and tricks to anybody in the any of the listeners who had any questions or wanted inspiration on how they could accomplish some of their own resolutions. So I see my boy Juan said, my resolution is to be a better man, husband, and father, and stay focused on making my kids' dreams come true. Well, that's a very, very noble resolution, personally, man. You know, for anybody, you know, that's a parent, you know, just being a better parent in general, you know, you can never stop becoming a better parent. So, you know, reading as much as you possibly can from other successful parents on all the tips and tricks and things that can make your time, money, and effort go farther, that definitely will help, man. I know one thing that really helped me out with regard to my own children was to learn more about diet and how to feed them better. And I watched how the diet that I was feeding my children changed how they acted and changed the ADHD nature of, say, my earlier children to my later children, and how the foods I fed them as I got wiser and changed up the diet from how I fed my first child and then second and then third. By the time I got to my third child, he never had anything but vegetables and fruits and nuts and seeds. And by 2.5 years old, the kid was logging in the Windows by himself. Give him a laptop here, open it up, turn it on, go to his profile, type in his password, go to Windows. Like, I got videos on YouTube of him doing this. And I think that a big part of that was changing his diet and not getting any poison into his system. There was no fluoridated water. You know, there was no fluoride poisoning his, you know, calcifying his pineal gland and, you know, in effect making the IQ lower, which is what happens in anyone under the age of 4 whose brains have not developed the neuronal patterns they're going to have for the rest of their life. And you're giving them a toxic substance like fluoride that is on the top 10 list of substances toxic to the human body. Sodium fluoride is on that list. And we've been lied to. And if you don't know this, then trust me, trust my research and go and do your own research behind it. But trust me when I tell you that fluoride has no benefit to the human body whatsoever. The American Dental Association is full of shit. It does not prevent cavities. That's bullshit. If anyone that goes in to the research and research is the flimsiest piece of evidence that they use to even suggest that cavities can be prevented with fluoride, that evidence is so flimsy, it's bullshit. And it's not worth putting a toxic poison into your child's bloodstream through the water they drink, through fluoride treatments, through the toothpaste. All of this is getting swallowed. Why, if fluoride is going to protect my teeth, why does it have to be swallowed into my bloodstream where it's a toxic, it's known to cause lower IQ? Look, the Nazis and KGB used fluoride to fluoridate POWs and keep them more docile. It makes you less aggressive. It makes you less able to think for yourself and fight for yourself. It makes you docile and more easily controlled. And that is the reason why it's given to the American public and as many people around the world as American corporations can get to ingest this stuff. People need to really do some research on what they're allowing it to get into the bodies of our children. So I'm saying all of this, Juan, to say that my journey into trying to become a better father led me into a lot of different research on some of the things that I was putting into my children that was hurting them and myself. And I stopped that. And I think that just getting into spending a little bit of your free time learning what is in the foods and the vaccines and the liquids and things that are coming from corporate America that you're putting into your children, learning what those things are and putting something different into your children that's healthy, that's alive, that's organic fruits and vegetables. And that's easier for you because you live in the South. You live around a bunch of farmland. Wait, that's if you still live in Andrews, then you know what I'm saying? That's, you're around a bunch of farmland and stuff like that. Like, that's, it's probably going to be cheaper for you to eat organic food. See, people who live up in Chicago, people who live in major metropolitan areas, man, you go to get organic, unadulterated, non-GMO, not poison, not toxic fruits and vegetables, it's pretty expensive. It's really expensive. That's one of the things I love about moving to Florida, because on every corner, not on every corner, but you know, I don't have to go far to find a truck with somebody on it with some oranges, some grapefruit, some cucumbers, and all kind of different plants, avocados, watermelons that were picked locally. And they are, a lot of these things have a lot of seeds in them, so you know that they're not GMO. Most GMO stuff don't have seeds in it. And I'm just saying all that to say that it's a very noble thing, and it's very, very showing of who you are as a man, you know, to even admit in public online and say, I want to be a better man, I want to be a better husband, I want to be a better father, because most people, ego is too big, and they can't even admit that I'm not the perfect man, I'm not the perfect husband, I'm not the perfect father. I wasn't always, and that's why I've consistently worked on myself and worked on myself and worked on myself. I'm not the perfect man now, and that's why every day I work on myself. Like, I'm going to be reading this right here, you know, A Magical History of Lemuria, Atlantis, and Avalon. This is somewhat of some of the history of this planet before the flood, before the sinking of Atlantis. And for those people who think that that's only on cartoons and it's not real, it is real. And all you have to do is start looking at some of the archaeological digs and the studies. I mean, the archaeological excavations that are going on right now, they have discovered so many places that are 50,000, 100,000 years old. Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. There are so many places right now that are being excavated as we speak that has destroyed everything in every history book we've ever been taught. Everything in school we've ever been taught about history is garbage. All of it. All of it. Adam's calendar in Africa. Google Michael Tellinger. This guy is talking about some of the most amazing stuff from prehistory, from pre-Diluvian history, the ancient megalithic society that ran this planet, that built all the pyramids in every continent, in every country. There's pyramids everywhere. So everything in the school books that we were taught, it's all bullshit now. We got a whole new history to learn. And that's why I'm up on it, and I'm trying to stay up on it, because I don't want my kids lied to, and I want to be able to tell them the truth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's all kind of good books to read here. The Fifth Sacred Thing. Not a bad book to read. No? I'm just trying to get into as many good books as I can, because that's where the knowledge is at. They used to say a lot, you know, hey, if you want to hide something from a black man, put it in a book. You know, that shit for me, because I'm not scared of books. I'll read. I'll go through them. I want to know. And I know that you want to know, man, and it's really good to know that you're trying to be a better man, husband, and father for your wife, for your kids, you know, and I appreciate you, man, you know, fighting for yours, you know. Keep doing that, man, and let me know how it turns out, you know what I mean? I'm always here with a whole bunch of experience, life experience, advice, you know, as a shaman, as a brother, as a friend, as a father, you know. I've got a couple ex-wives myself. I've had two marriages that wasn't perfect, you know. I'm not here to blame nobody. Some of that wasn't, you know, some of that was because of me. And, you know, I just needed to fix some things in myself so that my next relationship is going to be perfect. And all I'm saying is if you knew, if I got any, you know, if you got any questions or you feel like there's anything, any advice you want from me, feel free to hit me in the DM. If you don't want it public, man, I'm always here to help people out with my best information, you know. I see my boy Fofo General join the group. What's up, my brother? Good to see you, baby boy. Well, we already been talking now for about an hour and a half about resolutions. If anybody else wants to talk about their resolutions, oh, I see, man. Juan said he lives in Decatur, Georgia now. I see, but that's still not, it's not Andrews, but it's still not, you know, probably not too far from maybe like some major farming and stuff. I would imagine that it might be a little cheaper for you to get organic stuff rather than like, you know, the kind of prices you get up in like New York and out in Chicago, because it's just, I mean, the prices for food up in the major northern cities is just ridiculous. I mean, literally what, if you were to go into the average restaurant, not even super high end, you know, just the average, like a diner, you know, to go get an omelet with some grits and, you know, pancakes, that's going to probably be like $13, $14. Maybe $15 total with a drink, coffee, or something like that in Chicago.
New York, it might be even more. I haven't eaten in New York in a long time. But when I came down to Florida, the first thing that struck me was when we went out to eat, I just got, you know, a little breakfast, and the whole thing was like $6. And I was just, I mean, floored. I was blown away by how cheap food is down here. It just blew me away. So I'm just saying that to say that. I know that the further south, you know, you get, the further you get, the closer you get around farmland and stuff like that, I know food gets cheaper. And I was just suggesting that, you know, try to start learning as much as you can about what foods are going into your children, because that's one of the biggest, best things I think a parent can do is to lessen the attacks that your child is sustaining on a daily basis from food, from electronic stimulation, and from TV, from corporate America. Like, corporate America is attacking your children and attacking you. We are all being attacked all the time. You walk out your house, you're being attacked by radio waves and all kind of, you know, I mean, there's a lot attacking us on a daily basis. You breathe in chemtrails, like who knows what they're putting out in the air in these chemtrails. Like, there's so much that we are being attacked by, and there's no way to know it all. But I think that to be the best parent you can be is to find out as much as you can about what we do know, what is known about what's out here attacking us, and trying to reduce the effects it's having on your children, you know. Hey, I see Otto joined back in the show. What's up, Otto? That's my man who owns Estrella Negra in Chicago. It's the best Mexican restaurant in Chicago at Fullerton and Western. Estrella Negra. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go there, especially for you art lovers, because the whole place is just artistic and beautiful. Been with this guy since I used to live right in the building when he first started, like right after he first opened it. I used to go down there and eat almost every day. Good food, good, real good food, good organic stuff too. So anyway, if nobody else has any discussion they want to have about resolutions, I think I'm going to wrap the show up, because it is 11:30 here and I do need to be up a little early tomorrow. I would like to make an announcement that I am going to start going live with the THC show on Mondays a little earlier. I'm going to be shooting for 6 p.m. Eastern time. That'll be about 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Eastern time for you Central Chicago heads that follow me. And I would appreciate you guys marking in your calendar that it will be a little earlier now on Mondays, not at 9 or 10 o'clock. It will be around 6, because I will be getting up around 3:20 in the morning from now on. So I'm going to be needing to go to bed a little bit earlier. So moving the show down to an earlier time. So once again, if you have never tried Benny Balls, I advise you guys to, why don't you give Stardust a call? Check her out or a DM. She's in the comments. They can get you a bag of those. They're in Chicago. The most delicious thing you've ever put in your mouth that does no harm to your body. It's all organic, all fair trade, all non-GMO. And as long as you don't have any food allergies, because there are nuts and seeds in it. But, I mean, it's really, really delicious. You think granola's good? You got to try this. Shit's on granola. But that's a whole nother story. So without further ado, I think that I would just like to say to you all, this is the last episode of the THC show in this first season that is over at the end of this year, which is now. So this is the last show of the year, last show of the season. And next Monday we'll be starting season 2. Anyone who would like to feature on the show as a guest, please send me a DM. And we can talk about higher consciousness on the show. We can talk about other subjects that are related to higher consciousness. But it's really been difficult to try to keep the conversation here about higher consciousness without getting into so many things that affect our higher consciousness rise, such as, you know, politics being poisoned by corporate America. There's so many different subjects that are involved that, you know, we're all across the board here. And I really just want everyone to know that
that higher consciousness and trying to achieve that is not something that's just going to come overnight from watching a show or watching a couple of shows. Like, it takes research. It takes reprogramming of yourself. It takes actually changing your diet so that the things in your diet that are poisoning you and your ability to achieve higher consciousness get removed from diet. There's a saying in like the military that military technology is roughly 50 years ahead of civilian technology. 50 years. Now, this is just what they're saying. It could be even more. But if the technology is 50 years ahead, remember 50 years ago, I mean, computers were just coming around. 50 years before that, there were no computers. So if we have really powerful computers that we can hold in our hand and video chat with somebody on the other side of the planet, what does the military have? What do these corporations who have their hand in the back pocket or their money in the back pocket of these military organizations, what kind of technology do they have access to? And what can they be doing to harm you so that they can make a profit? There are a lot of people who come out and risk their lives almost on a daily basis. Someone is coming out whistleblowing and risking their lives. So many of them die, many of them get killed, but to come out because their conscience won't allow them to be a part of what some of these corporations and government organizations are doing to harm people and to make a profit or to just control us and have more power. So I think that it behooves one to take it upon yourself to Google these things, to Google, just Google whistleblower, Google breaking news whistleblower, and start finding some of the journalists on the internet who whistleblowers go to with their latest findings. So if someone right now worked for some company that was shooting some toxic thing in a vaccine no one knew about, and it was giving people flu shots, but they were also giving people this disease and no one knew about it. But this one person that was in this, that was privy to this information, they knew that they had to get this out to the public. How would they tell people? Well, they would probably call somebody like David Icke, Alex Jones. They go to Leak Project. They go to one of these journalists who have the balls to go against the mainstream media and say, hey, guys, have you seen this? Those are the people you need to pay attention to. Not saying don't pay attention to your normal news outlets and stuff so you know what's going on in the world that you live in, the world that you are safe in and feel like this is reality, but there's always stuff going on behind people's backs that people don't know about and we don't find out later that the government's been experimenting. But like, look at the Tuskegee Airmen experiments. Like, that's documented actual facts that our government experimented on people. They experiment on soldiers. They put stuff in these vaccines they give soldiers all the time. This isn't in question. This isn't some conspiracy theory. We know they did this. And if they did it before, why would you assume they wouldn't do it again? And if they would do it again, how do you know they're not doing it now? How do you know that something that we are consuming or using as technology on a daily basis, how do you know that that's not being used to harm or manipulate or to cause some illness that they have the cure for waiting to make millions and billions of dollars off of it? It's not that there's no precedent for this. There is a serious precedent for this. So, if you don't know what that is, but you know that there's a likelihood that you could be being attacked, because I'm telling you that I've been studying for years and I can sit here and list off a whole list of things that most people don't even realize they're being attacked by, wouldn't that make you want to find out as much as you can about how you're being attacked so that you can reduce the attacks? Think about that. And make your 2020 resolution, if you haven't come up with one yet, to reduce the amount of ways that you are being attacked by food, toxic food, toxic electrical stimulation like this 5G that's causing cancer, holding cell phones next to your head, put it in your pocket so that it makes you sterile. There are things that we are being attacked by that people don't even understand because they're too busy looking at Facebook. They're too busy caught up in things and distracted so much that they're not taking the time out to think clearly and do serious research into the things that matter the most. So, I mean, I could go on about this for a while, but I'm not really trying to take up too much time on what some people might consider conspiracy theory stuff. But if you don't think that there are people that are conspiring to attack you and profit from it, then maybe you deserve it. And I don't know, man. I really hate to say something like that, but people have to grow up and wake up and take it into their own and take their health and their own consciousness evolution into their own hands. You have a lot of people like me, like a lot of people out on the internet who are doing what I'm doing right now and giving you our best experience and our best education and everything, but I'm just another human being and you can't take everything that I say at face value. You got to do the research on your own. You got to take time away from some of the things that don't really matter that much in your life and put some of that time into learning more about the things that are attacking you. He said, can you send me a link for those? Couldn't see the bag. Oh yeah, it's you could just go to Instagram and type in BENE balls, BALLS. You can always just go to Instagram.com/BENE balls. That's BennyBalls.com. But that'll be the logo you'll see when you get to the Instagram page. Or you can also freeze the video on this barcode and then scan the barcode with a barcode reader on your cell phone. That'll work too. But BennyBalls.com. So this is really delicious though. This is something that I created in my kitchen with my daughter and me and two of my friends, Stardust and Hans. We've been creating this and we've tried a few different recipes and we've come up with the perfect flavor on a nutrient-dense granola snack. Like this bag will contain 120 grams, so it's about three servings. So 63 grams is a serving. And if you, I've eaten 63 grams of Benny Ball, and I've went biking for like 10, 20 miles, come back, and I'm still not even starving yet because rather than having a whole big meal of food that is nutrient-deficient, like something you get from a value meal or something, you can just eat one serving of this and it's nutrient dense and you're getting more nutrients than five value meals. So your body's not screaming for sustenance because you've given it all. Your stomach might not be full and stuffed, but you have the nutrients that are required to give your body everything that you need to feel good and have plenty of energy. But that's a whole other story. I just wanted to do a little shameless plug. Get some Benny Balls in your life, man. As we perfect this, we got different packaging coming. This is going to look a lot prettier. This is just the prototype packaging that we've been using for the past year as we were getting the licensing and everything done and all of that. But Benny Balls will be one of the biggest resolutions that we have for 2020. We will be selling this legitimately at festivals, online, retailers. We will be pushing Benny Ball because this is one way that we've created to help the world. Benny Ball. Healthy food in a place like America that really, really needs it. So, I see Meredith joined. What's up, girl? Thank you for joining the show. You're almost at the tail end of it. We're finna end the show soon. I see my boy Jared join the show and Naftali too, man. Yeah, I see you, Luck. I wish you guys had come in a little bit earlier. We've already been on the air for about almost 2 hours now, about an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. And I got to kind of get up early. So we're just going to end the show, you know. But I definitely thank you for coming out. This video will be posted up at patreon.com/JerichoSpitz. That is my new Patreon page where all of the episodes of the season two will be posted. I will be going live on and doing the shows from now on my Patreon account. I will be posting up in the Facebook group when I'm going to go live. I'll put a little message up in here to let everybody know. And then on the dot, 6 p.m. every Monday, I will be going live on my Patreon account and all of my Patreon subscribers will be able to see that show. Maybe I'll have it publicly live and then after the live feed, it'll just be only for my patrons will be able to see it. Like this show here, everybody who didn't catch it live won't be able to see it in the THC group. It'll be removed, but it will be on the Patreon account. So I'm going to continue doing this every week and trying to give you guys my highest wisdom, tips, tricks, methodology, and systematic instructions on the best way that I know how to go about achieving higher consciousness. I mean, I've come a long way for some of you guys who've known me for 15, 20 years. You've watched me from being, you know, in the streets on some pretty negative stuff to like coming to a place where, I mean, all I can do is be good and help people. That's all I really want to do in life now. You know, I can't even put out songs that aren't 100% love anymore, man. That's why y'all finna see a whole new album coming out next summer. It's going to be nothing but love. You know, I got this new philosophy. Like if Bob Marley, Sade, you know, if these people who are love-based artists wouldn't endorse the song, then I won't be able to put it out. First of all, I wouldn't write it. But I definitely wouldn't record it, and I definitely wouldn't release it. I wouldn't release anything that's not love anymore. If it's not love, I don't want nothing to do with it. At all, period. That's just who I am. Jericho Spitz. You're watching the THC show. This is the end of 2019. So I just want to leave with a happy new year to you all. I love you guys. I thank you for, you know, being on this journey with me of dialogue of higher consciousness as I chronicle my own journey. And I thank y'all for participating in the process. And I just want to say I love you guys. Thank you so much for joining the show. And thank you so much for being on this journey with me. Much love. Happy New Year. And a big birthday shout out to my dad. His birthday is on New Year's Day. Bruce, love you, man. Peace, you guys.